The Aubrey Masango Show on 702.
Let's walk the talk.
Streaming on the Prime Media Plus app.
DStv Channel 856.
92.7 and 106 FM.
Are you anxious about aging? That's the conversation I'm going to have now with Paula Quincy. She's life coach and CEO of Engaged Humans. And why are you anxious about aging? Paula, thank you so much for joining us. I really, really, really appreciate your time.
Hi there. Good evening to you and the listeners.
So, you know, I just had my birthday on Sunday, turned 51.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. And I realized that I was a little bit anxious about the birthday itself, the celebration. My family's very, very big on making a big deal about singing and a little prezi here and there and a kook sister there and so forth. But I found myself really anxious about that, about that whole ceremony. I just felt like, oh, I wish we could just keep it quiet and just, you know, just move on with our lives. My wife is very big on, you know, we've got to acknowledge this moment. And as we were preparing for this conversation, I thought to myself, there's a question that I'd like to ask Paula about. Is it really a matter of me being anxious about my aging, or is it about the birthday itself? And if that's so, why? But why do people have anxiousness or anxiety around growing older? Surely it's something that we should all embrace, and it's been around since the beginning of time. It'll probably continue until the end of time. Why do we have anxiety around aging?
Yeah, I think, you know, because we subscribe to, you know, a lot of what society dictates that's associated with aging, and that you're old now and you're over the hill, and we potentially interpret that we've got no more value to contribute, that we've lost our youth, you know, and then, you know, especially around the big 5-0 birthday, we kind of question, you know, what's the meaning and purpose of my life? You know, 50 years have gone by, and what are the next 50 going to look like if we're even going to make it that far? You know, we start realizing
you're more than a half a century old, Dad. Yeah.
You realize that there's very few months or years left, you know, and we start, it starts taking on much more significant sort of symbolism and meaning around the quality of life and what comes with aging, and what does that mean in terms of our careers and our families and our friends and, you know, how we want to live life going forward.
Is it a matter also of perhaps realizing that, you know, mortality is becoming a reality? not that you're going to die tomorrow, but you're beginning to... You're beginning to realize that, look, this thing is real. It's happening. It's this last second that I've just enjoyed now will never, ever come back again. Is it perhaps a big existential question that starts to mess with you?
Yes, I think we start questioning, you know, the value of life and the meaning of life. And it's not so much about material things, but more around those special and important things, like the special people in our lives. And that, you know, we can have all the fancy cars and the fancy house and all of the money in the bank, but that doesn't necessarily make us feel happy and fulfilled with life or content with life.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's where we start actually reflecting on our life and going, how do I want to live my life going forward? And what's meaningful and important to me now? Is it quality of life? And what does that look like? Is it health? Is it my family? Is it my loved ones? Is it I want to retire and move to the coast and start slowing down? We start having these questions around, where's our life going?
Why is it giving us anxiety? Why do we have anxiety about that? Surely this should be a celebratory moment of the next phase of our lives, the next, you know, the next chapter with greater wisdom and temperance. Why does it cause anxiety?
So I think there's a few things to it. One is obviously from a financial point of view in terms of financial planning, and we realize that retirement is around the corner, so to speak, whether it's voluntary or being forced because your company policy says at 60 you're too old to work. And so then it starts playing on us, you know, have we done enough? Have we saved enough? Have we planned enough? Are we able to sustain ourselves? And then the everyday costs that are going up, which just contributes to that, from just medical aid itself and healthcare costs, and we start falling into those high risk categories from a health perspective, you know, things like cancers or terminal illnesses, mental health illnesses. As we age, we are more at risk in terms of, you know, Alzheimer's and dementia and Parkinson's. And we don't want to get frail, and we don't want to appear being weak. So it starts playing on our minds, because we're heading towards that stage where, you know, we're being referred to as pensioners or the elderly. You know, on a Wednesday, you can go and get your pensioner's card if you're 60, over 60.
So, you know, I come from a culture, I suppose, that reveres age. You know, I come from a culture where, you know, the older you become, the more revered. Well, let me say that the traditional culture, because I suppose the more urban, Western, more commercial, subscribes to a different value system about aging than the traditional culture, where age is something that is revered. The people with gray hair are really revered because they are understood to be the custodians of wisdom and deep understanding of the meaning of life and all of those kinds of things. And then, of course, there's the other culture where we live in that again reveres the idea of youth and never aging and so forth. And so many of us find ourselves at a conflation point, at a crossroads, at a confusion between those two value systems about aging. And I imagine that for those of us who find ourselves, that the anxiety becomes a little bit more?
It does, because, you know, we start questioning what is the legacy that we're going to leave behind. You know, and that legacy can be different things to different people. It can be money and financial and inheritance, but it could also be the legacy in terms of passing knowledge down and traditions down, and, you know, keeping the culture alive. And, you know, who's going to carry that force? So, you know, because those things start becoming important to us, and we realize that we may not have paid much attention to them, and have we missed opportunities to pass that knowledge and that wisdom on. Also, you know, grappling with the fast-paced lifestyles that we just live these days, whether it's through technology and just how things are evolving and changing rapidly, we realize that time is short, and we want to start focusing on making those moments count, because we realize how few are left.
Give me a call on 011-883-0702. The number in Cape Town is 021-446-0567. We're talking about the anxiety related to the aging process. What is it that makes you anxious? Is it perhaps physiological? Is it simply on the basis of physiology you are perhaps not as athletic, not as agile, not as vital as you perhaps used to be? And that's maybe where your value rested in your own mind. Is it because perhaps you are worried about retirement and issues connected to finances? Are you worried about the culture of making people that are older irrelevant? In the modern culture, older people are made to feel and look and sound irrelevant. Or do you perhaps, like I perhaps want to do at some point, Paula, maybe retreat into my traditional culture at some point, where age is revered, where older people are understood to be the repositories of wisdom and knowledge and so forth. I'm seeing that a lot of people are retreating back to those kinds of cultural values, where they are feeling a sense of relevance in traditional cultures. I see it in North America with people that come from Native American sort of cultures, the Aborigines. It looks like Aboriginal cultures seem to still revere age. If you go to the Far East, for example, it still seems to be a revered thing. Could there be something that we could learn from that?
I think most definitely in terms of, you know, particularly the traditional culture, because we're losing it, because we're not keeping those stories alive. We're not documenting those stories. And as we get older, we realize how important those things are to us. So hence why people are going back to their roots. And that's part of the legacy that they want to leave behind. And we start searching for our own identity and connecting to an identity where, you know, we do feel relevant and we do feel like we have an identity, as opposed to just being seen as an old person or a person that is aging, and that fear of being left behind and forgotten.
Mm. What do you think, I mean, from your scanning of that issue, what do you think the biggest cause of anxiety as far as aging is concerned? Is it the financial side of things? Is it the vitality side of things? The physical ability to do certain things that, you know, I can see I can't run as fast as I used to. I can't climb as agilely as I used to. What are the things that you believe are perhaps the biggest creators of the anxiety?
Financial is a large one, yeah, by far. You know, in terms of, have people done enough in terms of planning for their future from a savings and investment and a retirement perspective? Because, you know, costs and life is not getting cheaper. It's just getting more and more expensive. And the cost of living in most majority of households don't have a choice. Both partners have to be working these days just to survive, let alone thrive. So financial is a big one. And then there's definitely the health risks that are associated with that, around the terminal illnesses and diseases like cancers, both for male and men and women, and then the dementia and the Alzheimer's and the Parkinson's. And then I guess the other part of that is also around feeling irrelevant, because what value am I going to contribute and add back to the world now? Because if people don't put a transition plan in place to step out of whatever their form of employment is into retirement, they lose that identity and that purpose, because they had a purpose to get up and go somewhere every day and make a contribution, you know, in their place of employment and contribute their knowledge and their skills. And then when they step out of that environment, where do they step into? They've lost their identity, they've lost their purpose, unless they've put a plan in place that basically helps them reinvent themselves. And they now give back in other ways, whether it's, you know, mentoring other people, junior people or younger people, whether it's contributing through charitable foundations and associations, or, you know, moving down to the coast and downsizing your lifestyle. If we don't put that transition in place, we do lose ourselves and our identity, and that causes risks around mental health, issues like depression and suicidal thoughts.
Yeah. Susanna Kaputi has just sent me a message on our WhatsApp line. She says, Kaputi, good evening, Aubrey. Happy belated birthday. She says, thank you very much, Susanna. She's 52 years old. No, I'm 51 years old. Susanna says, you're a baby. It is normal to get anxious at birthday parties because for that day, you're the center of the attention. With aging, you get wiser, and like a good wine, you get precious, says Susanna. I absolutely agree with that. It is, however, I think the truth that our culture doesn't, you know, our modern culture doesn't see things that way, that as you age, you become more precious. We attach an irrelevance to age. We make people retire and make them wait to die, kind of thing, which is something that I really, really think is sad and misguided. But is that perhaps part of what subliminally is part of the angst, Paula?
Yes, I think, you know, there's that, you know, especially if you don't have support structures around you and you don't have the financial means, you know, and especially from a South African perspective, you know, where are you going to end up? Are you in terms of a retirement home or an old age home? And what is that quality of life going to be like for you? You know, nobody wants to die alone. But sadly, that does happen because, you know, people can't afford the quality of life that if they haven't planned. And then families move away, they move overseas, and then you are left behind and you are left alone. And, you know, the elderly are always referred to as like the forgotten generation, because we don't incorporate them into society. And there's, you know, from a societal point of view is, well, you know, what do old people know? They're so out of the loop of the modern day way of doing things and technology and, you know, those kinds of things, which is not necessarily true. It's just they don't haven't had opportunity to be exposed to it.
Yeah.
You know,
we've been talking about the elderly, but do you find similar sort of anxieties perhaps with people in their 20s or 30s? Maybe even their 40s. Do you find similar anxieties or anxieties that come from a similar sort of concern for somebody who's 20, 30, maybe even 40?
So for the younger generation, there's definitely a pressure. It's a different kind of pressure and anxiety around I need to have my life figured out. I need to know what I'm going to study and I need to know what career path I'm going to embark on. And there's a lot of pressure on them to have it all figured out when you don't, you can't.
Yeah.
And so we are seeing a lot of young people with a lot of anxiety around having their life figured out and putting, you know, either themselves under unnecessary pressure or the pressure is being placed on them by society that, you know, in grade 9, you need to choose your subjects so that you know what degree you're going to study and you know which university you're going to apply for. And, you know, I mean, at that age already, do you really know what career path you want to embark on? Do you know what subjects? I mean, some do, but not everyone does. And that's causing a lot of mental health issues and anxiety for young people. And then, you know, once they've got into the career path to sort of, you know, establish themselves and get financially stable in terms of either buying a house or property or paying off their student loans before they can take that next step in their life stage, which is settling down and starting a family.
Yeah. Give me a call if you are perhaps a person in your youth and you are in perhaps anxious about an aspect of your aging. Give me a call and tell me what it is that you're concerned about. I've been very fortunate, Paula, that I've generally enjoyed every stage of my life. And I wonder whether that has to do with a particular mental mindset, a particular mindset, a mental disposition that one is endowed with, for whatever reason, or is it because one is just oblivious of the realities of the aging process? I don't actually remember a time when I was uncomfortable with the stage and age that I was, except maybe, you know, except maybe just before I turned 18 and wanting to go to a bar. And, you know, wasn't allowed to do that. But other than that, I don't remember. Are there people who have a greater propensity to this kind of anxiety than others?
No, I think it's, you know, as we go through the different life stages and life milestones, our priorities and our outlook shift in life. And, you know, while we're in our younger years, and more mature, you're sort of maturing the sort of 20s, 30s, 40s, we still feel, you know, we've still got life, still so much life ahead of us because retirement seems so far away and it feels intangible. So we don't really think of it as this big thing until we get to nearing our 50s. And then it starts becoming this big thing. And so I think, you know, it depends on what life stage you're at. And so life stage being, you know, I'm young and career driven and ambitious, or I've next life stage is family orientated and settling down. And then there's the empty nester syndrome life stage. And so as we go through those different life stages, our priorities and our outlook in life shift and change. And then as we tick off these milestones, you know, 18, 21, 25, 30, 40, and then we kind of stop counting at 50, right? So those milestones that we tick off to kind of mentally or in other ways to say, you know, we're progressing through life. And then we realize like life is going by so fast.
And yet there is a you know, you talk about the 50s. There is, I suppose, a sense when you get to that stage, let me speak for myself, that you don't have much else to prove. And there's a feeling of less anxiety about that, and you get to a point where you're not trying to prove anything to anybody anymore. You're just doing you.
Absolutely.
Do you find that?
Yes, when for people, it happens at different stages, but it's generally from your mid 40s onwards where you go, absolutely, you know, I've got nothing to prove. I've achieved or I've accomplished or I'm happy with where I'm at in my life. And I'm going to do life for me now. Often, you know, you start heading into that empty nester syndrome or stage, and it's like, okay, well, my life was dedicated to the kids. Now that they've moved on, I've got my life back, and I'm going to start doing the things that I want to do for me. Or we stop chasing the corporate ladder, and we go, you know what, I don't want to be CEO anymore, or it was important, but it's not important to me anymore. It's quality of life and having my loved ones around me and spending quality time with them. And collecting experiences as opposed to collecting things, as in material things.
Yes.
And the older we get, unfortunately, with that comes the reality that sometimes, you know, the people around us pass on. And that just reinforces us that we are getting older and that, you know, time is precious and life is precious. And you never know when that card is going to be called and it's your time.
I think that'll give me anxiety. As you were talking about that, I could feel it, you know, in the pit of my stomach, that I think I'd probably be a little anxious about that, that empty nest, what do you call it?
Empty nest syndrome.
There you go. I think that would be something that would scare me. I suppose we'll deal with it when it comes. Please give us a call at 011-883-0702, 021-446-0567. My guest is Paula Quincy. She's a life coach and CEO at Engaged Humans. We're talking about the topic of anxiety as it relates to aging. My son is 7 years old, right? 7 years old, turning eight. He's my youngest. And he is exhibiting signs of a little bit of anxiety about aging, because he realizes that we are no longer entertaining his nonsense. We make sure that he realizes that he needs to pick up after himself, needs to clean up after himself, needs to tidy up. And he says, but you never used to do it. We said, no, because you're growing up, bro. You're not a little baby anymore. And I can see him really contemplate this and think about this. This is going to be a problem, this growing up thing. So do you think it can go down to that age, the anxiety of growing up, of aging?
Yeah, and I think, you know, that's, you know, it's how we may not realize that we are placing that pressure, or how it's impacting, you know, so young ones, because we tell them, oh, look what a big boy you are or a big girl you are, because you can dress yourself, you can eat by yourself, you know, you're not a baby anymore.
Yeah.
And, you know, so we may not realize that directly or indirectly we could be contributing to that stress and then anxiety, because we tell them you're big now and you need to behave like a big boy or a big girl, you know.
Yes.
And what that can, you know, in terms of becoming more independent and in terms of age appropriate. And then on the opposite side of that, we've also got a lot of pressure from society now with, you know, the new aging and biohacking and reverse aging and all these potions and lotions and, you know, things that you can do to keep your youth. And so that's also causing a lot of anxiety around how do I keep up with all of this and keep my youth, because it's not cheap either. It can be quite a costly exercise.
A whole industry has emerged over the years because of that anxiety, Paula, I would imagine. I mean, the anti-aging creams, the supplements, the gyms, the exercise. I mean, a whole industry has come out of that. Would you say it's because marketers and businesses have seen, an opportunity in the anxiety of aging?
I think, yes, there is an element of that. I think also as, you know, research and new methods and techniques and new products and all of that comes out, there is evidence in it. And, you know, some people are pro for it and they want to keep their youth and they want to do everything they can to reverse the aging process. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. I think it's a personal choice at the end of the day. And as to how far you want to go with that, you know, in terms of whether it's, you know, want to do the whole sort of plastic surgery and that kind of thing and facelifts and stuff, or you're just going to use the serums and stuff. But yes, there are people that, you know, are quite happy to go to those lengths. And if that's what makes them happy, it's their personal choice at the end of the day. So I think definitely, you know, there's opportunities as trends grow and as people start seeing results, and people are going to follow those things just as they follow other fads and trends out there.
But do you think that those trends, those choices we have something to do with the anxiety of aging at the base of them?
Yes, because you've got to constantly keep up with those trends. You know, if you start something, there's the pressure to keep up with it because it's not a once-off thing. If you're going to start using this serum or this potion, or you're going to start biohacking or whatever it is, you've got to keep up with that regime. And so it takes the discipline, it takes the financial means, if there is financial means involved. It takes the, you know, educating yourself on these things and keeping up with technology and processes and research as new findings come out. So it's constantly evolving, and keeping up with that can put a person under, you know, can deplete them because it takes a lot of energy and effort.
What is biohacking?
So it's where, you know, looking at how your body is constructed and how you can reverse things like, let's say, aging from a wrinkles point of view or skincare, and you can, you know, some of the trends right now at the moment, it's to do with your genes.
Right.
So how do you take your genes into account and, whether it's, there's so many different
simply manipulating the biology from a cellular point, I suppose, from maybe even your chromosomes.
Yeah, so it's along those lines. For example, your sleep, you know, your sleep patterns, wearing devices now that monitor your sleep patterns and your quality of sleep.
Yeah.
And, you know, how do you use that information to then reset your sleeping patterns so that you actually get the best quality sleep, which then obviously helps from an anti-aging point of view. Other things that are out there are like light therapy, in terms of, you know, using, so because we spend a lot of time indoors now instead of outdoors, we don't get natural light and natural sunshine. So people have vitamin D deficiencies. You know, so it's around weight loss, it's around skin care regimes, it's around, you know, reversing that whole aging. So things like collagen, for example, it just really depends on, you know, where your interest lies.
Yeah. Franz Ngake on the WhatsApp line says, good evening, Aubrey and our guest. I have never bothered myself with age. Even today, I got married at age 28, have 4 children, all grown-ups. But I feel like I'm 32 years old, still enjoy myself with a positive future outlook and preparing to start a business soon. No worries, and I'm borderless, says Franz. Hey, bro, Franz, great stuff, man. I think I feel similar. I have a similar attitude towards aging yourself. And then somebody else says, I'm over 71 and 3 months. When I see people in their 80s are nearly to meet their Heavenly Father, 9 years of my earthly life now. Okay, and then they stopped there. I don't know really what they were saying, but perhaps they could give me a call as far as that one is concerned. Here's a question that my daughter asked me while we were driving. She is 12 now. She's just turned 12 on the 15th of April. She says, Dad, do you feel like you like last year. and for a long time, I was trying to figure out what she was actually asking. And it dawned on me that she was asking about the continuity of consciousness as we age. You know? Because yes. she says, do you feel like you were when you were 10 or 12 now? And it got me thinking about, wow, she's thinking about the continuity of consciousness as you age. Does that have something to do with the anxiety, perhaps, that comes from the reality of aging, that you start feeling like you're not you as you continue to age?
I think you do go through phases where you start questioning yourself in terms of, have you lived the life that you thought you would?
Mm-hmm.
And what has it brought you? You know, has it brought you fulfillment and joy? You know, do you, if you had to die tomorrow, would you say that you lived the life that you set out to live and create for yourself?
Mm-hmm.
And if not, why not? And what do you want to do about it?
Mm.
And that can cause a lot of anxiety, that perhaps, you know, we've wasted opportunities or we've wasted life. You know, some people, you know, have regrets because they didn't take opportunities or they didn't pursue their dreams or their passions.
Why would a 12-year-old be thinking about that?
I think because they get exposed to so much more stuff than what we were exposed to at that age, you know, the information, the access they've got in terms of topics that are being discussed, and that they've got through social media platforms and devices and what they're learning in schools now. They're exposed to topics and discussions that we were never exposed to at that age.
Yeah. Anyway, aging, I mean, Zuko says, aging is a beautiful process. I dream to see 3 to 5 generations on my bloodline, says Zuko. Yeah, I suppose that's also quite a thing to look forward to. I imagine that's how grandparents or great-grandparents must feel when they see you know, their progeny, their generations that have come after them. It must be a big feeling, Paula.
Definitely. And I think it's, you know, where is your mindset? How do you feel about it? And, you know, how are you embracing it, or how are you letting it get the better of you? How are you letting it contribute to that anxiety? Because that's what you are in control of. You know, you can control your emotions and that. And if you really feel that this is something that's really getting to you, this is where I would suggest, you know, you go and speak to a professional about it, or speak to a trusted source that can help you unpack and process the emotions and where this anxiety is coming from. You know, and put give you some tools to be able to cope with that anxiety, because if you don't deal with that anxiety, it can become all consuming and it can lead to mental health issues like depression and, you know, just cutting yourself off and distancing or withdrawing from society and the world around you, you know, which is not going to let you live that life, that quality life, for the years that you have left when you should be enjoying life.
There's a thing, I don't know, that people call, and I see Gino's on the line, I want to take that call quickly, but there's a thing where you find people that are of a particular age maybe dressing in age-inappropriate ways, you know? you know what I mean? Because
yes.
I don't want to sound all judgmental. But you know, I've seen like a guy my age with a pretty healthy bop trying to squeeze himself into some skinny jeans, and it just really looks tacky. Or a guy with like balding head, and and then there's that ponytail that you want to say, dude, just, you know, it's all right, you can let it go now. Is that a form of anxiety? Is that how anxiety is perhaps showing itself off in that person?
I mean, I think it definitely could be a contributing factor, you know, where people are trying to, you know, hold on to feeling youthful and feeling trendy, and, you know, they feel good about themselves.
It just doesn't look good. And, I know, yeah, and I know, Paula, the reason why you laugh like that is because you probably, in your own mind, have references and people. I can see them right now in my mind's eye. People might be like, dude, you know, it's all right. Yeah.
Yeah, I think you do get to a point, you know, and it is generally around your 50s where you go, you know, should I be dressing like that? Should I be behaving like that? Yeah. You know, is it age appropriate? You know, and then you get some people who don't care and they just, you know, this is who I am and I'm going to dress how I want or I'm going to party how I want and I'm going to live life.
And, you know, all power to them. Just do it looking like you. Anyway, Gino is on the line. Gino is from Henley on Clip. Hi, Gino.
Happy birthday, Gino.
Come on! Go ahead, Gino.
Thank you. How's it, Orbs?
Yeah, man, I'm good. I'm good.
I'm 74.
Yes.
I still sound like this.
Beautiful, man.
And I'm happy where I am.
Nice.
I still wear 32 jeans.
Wow.
And I think it's all to do with your jeans. I am 5'10".
Yeah.
Okay. And I eat well. And I do my exercises when I can.
Yeah.
And I try not to stress.
Yeah.
Stress is the killer.
Yeah.
And I listen to music and I actually try to indulge myself with younger minds, not older minds, younger minds,
yeah,
because they tend to keep you young.
Mm.
I don't know if it makes sense.
No, absolute sense. Absolute sense. Absolutely. Can I just quickly ask you a question? Do you know, I mean, you're an older guy, so I hope you take
yes.
It.
Oh, yes. Okay, sorry. Before you go any further.
Yeah?
I used to be in the music business. We music guys, we stay young longer.
Yeah. Do you still feel sexy?
Oh, yes.
Yeah?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with that.
Nothing wrong, Gino. Nothing wrong, man. Appreciate the call, man, and all power to you. Strong, beautiful voice, good lungs, good pipes. Thanks very much for that call.
I'll be 75 in July 31st.
Why don't you give us a call July 31st and then me sing happy birthday to you.
And I'm getting a new life on the 13th of June,
yeah,
where I go for the cataracts on my eyes.
Yeah. Oh, great stuff.
And then I'll be a different person.
Gino, thanks very much, man.
Okay, cool.
Appreciate it. Thank you very much. Fazil says, hi, Aubrey. Too often we hear the issue about aging from a Western perspective, which is by and large the product of their individualistic lifestyles that they've lived. Other communities enjoy the social environments based on their communal lifestyles lived, says Fazil. Talis says, hi, Orbs and our guest. I just realized I started pigmenting. It doesn't bother me at all. Is it part of aging, says Tlale? What does that mean, pigmenting? Paula, do you know?
Pigmenting would be blotches on skin. Yeah, so skin pigmentation. I'm interpreting this or understanding this.
Okay, I don't know what that is. But yeah, I mean, there's Gino's good set of pipes, good set of lungs. He wears a 32. That's pretty sexy. And he's going to have a new lease on his eyesight very soon. He turns 75 in July. Hope he does give me a call. I'll sing for him. But it appears that there are some of us who are riding the storm of the anxiety of aging.
Yes, and you know, I'm not sure how many people have heard of the blue zone, which is there's the places in the world where they have the healthiest or longest living population,
yeah,
and it's very much around the community that they were referring to. I know Japan is one of them, and Italy is one of them, where you know the elderly people there, they're living to be well, you know, into their hundreds, or
yeah,
those zones, the blue zones,
oh,
and the
yes,
people
yes,
that
yes,
the
yes,
highest
yes,
level of, you know, from an aging point of view, reaching 100 years plus.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's because of, you know, their lifestyle and being very much community orientated. Obviously, they do a lot of walking, you know, in terms of getting around. So they're active, they're keeping active, but it's also got to do with their diets and that as well.
Mm.
So it's not impossible to age. And and definitely live life to its fullest. I think it's how, you know, a lot to do with your mindset, though.
Paula Quincy, thank you so much for talking to me about this. I'm hoping that we'll talk again soon. Paula is life coach and CEO at Engage Humans. How do we get in touch with you, Paula?
So I'm on all the social media platforms, so Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, YouTube, and my website, engagedhumans.com or paulaquincy.com.